We're back to the Neil Haley Show. Also, the Love Is podcast. I'm excited to welcome my co-host, Kim Sorrell, author of Love Is and podcast host of Love Is. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
Hi, Neil. I am doing great. And yes, I'm very excited about our guest, Nick Shakur. I hope I said that right, Nick. You Perfect. Are quite a guy. So the story goes, as I know it, that in fourth grade, your gym teacher saw this incredible talent in you. And pretty soon there was a school assembly where you were showcasing your incredible talent. You're a funny, funny man, and you've done so many things. I've got a grandson who loves you in the video games that you do, and cool. Probably some sons who do too, actually. And not to mention Care Bears and all the other wonderful things you've done. And now The Chosen. Nick, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Wow. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, yeah,
no problem. So interesting story, your background. I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit. What a fourth grader is doing, imitating the teachers, I think. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, it was during PE class with our PE teacher. His name is Rudy Benton. Awesome dude. He was more than a PE teacher. He was like everybody's favorite father or uncle. And the really unique thing about him was he saw you. He actually saw you individually and not just as a whole, as a classroom. And what started off as him challenging each student to get up and make the rest of the class laugh, to show us how our diaphragms worked. I mean, this is how dedicated this guy was to health and fitness. He didn't want us to just do exercise. He wanted to teach us about how the body functioned. And so each student gets up and does something else. And, you know, it was the quiet, you know, timid immigrant kid up until that point. And I raised my hand because as a kid, I would always imitate uncles, aunts, you know, people in my family. My mom would put me in the middle of a living room and tell me, oh, now do this person, now do that person. I would just snap into their voice and become them. And so I got up on stage and everybody was giving me kind of side stares like, this guy doesn't even talk. What is he going to do to make us laugh? Next thing I know, the whole class is cracking up. And I look to my left and Mr. Benton is in fetal position on the ground and his face is beet red. And he's just holding himself, holding his stomach because he's just in pain and laughing at the same time. So he comes up to me. The whole class gets taken up with this crazy improv that I decided to do of all the teachers in the school. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and he's trying to catch his breath. And he was like, kid, you're hilarious. Can you do this for all my classes? And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. He goes and asks the school principal, Mr. Heron at the time. And Mr. Heron said, absolutely not. That is against the law. And so instead, as a compromise, he convinces him to hold a special assembly 2 hours from that point, or 3 hours, where I'd be on stage doing this for the entire school and doing it for the teachers that I was parodying. And so I'm on stage as this was eight. I was 8 years old or 9 years old. And Mr. Benton is to stage left, I think they call it, with the, you know, with the ropes in hand. And I looked at him. I was like, Mr. Benton, I don't think I can. Because I look out the curtains. I'm like, what am I doing here? And he said, no, you're going to be great. You're going to be funny. He just pulls the curtain and I let it rip. And next thing I know, all the teachers were great sports and I didn't get in trouble. The entire school was laughing. And,
wow.
Yeah. And I had such a rush that I'd never felt anything like that in my life. Like there was a river flowing through me effortlessly. And although I didn't really get into acting until my 30s as a serious kind of pursuit, Mr. Benton saw that thing in me that nobody else saw outside of my own family.
You know, it's interesting when you say that. So you didn't get in acting in your 30s. How did that happen? Like, what were you doing before that?
Well, I've done so many jobs. I've served tables. I've been a barback. I've did junk removal service for Got Junk. I did get my college degree. Of course, I did it in cinema. I studied. I wanted to direct music videos and do voiceovers on the side. That was kind of in my mind. And voiceover, an interest partook in that when my buddies in college started having me prank call businesses when they found out I could do voices. But it really took a breakup that went haywire and the economy crashing in late 2008-09, and my finances dwindling. It took for me to lose everything to move back in with my parents. And my mom would just walk by my bed in the room, not by my bed, by my room, and just see me laying in bed every day, looking up at the ceiling, wondering what happened to my life. And one day she stopped, and very, very gently and very, very low tone, she said, "Well, now that you've lost everything, why don't you do what you've always been good at as a kid, which is acting?" And then a little like fire, like a little match was lit in me. And I sat there and she just kind of walked away. And I still laid there and I thought, yeah, I don't have anything left. I barely have any money left in my bank. I don't have a girlfriend anymore. I don't have any obligations. Okay, yeah. So next thing I know, within the next couple months, I got myself a part-time job at a retail store in the hometown of my parents. I said, okay, I'm going to buy a computer and then I'm going to edit my own voice demo. And I'm going to send it to all the agents in the Bay Area and San Francisco. And yeah, I am going to do it. I'm going to be an actor. And next thing I knew, 6 months down the line, I was with an agency and I was booking voiceover roles and commercials every month. And I thought, wow. So eventually 3 years later, moved to LA, got an animation voice agent. A year after that, an on-camera agent, everything just one thing led to another. But the biggest lesson that was it took all of these things that I saw as catastrophes at the time to realign me with what I believe God wanted me to do, because it came so easy. The voiceovers were like second nature to me. The acting was like second nature. And I thought, wow, okay, like let's do this. And yeah, you have your slow periods and you have periods where you're questioning yourself, but it was like, you know, God was guiding me the entire time and allowing things to happen that didn't feel comfortable in a healthy increment to lead me to where I am today.
You know, that's so interesting. I heard an interview where you talked about coincidences, that all these coincidences were happening when you got the role of Zebedee and then you're in the airport and the two guys you run into are going to be your two sons, James and John, and to talk to them. And then other things happened and that these coincidences started happening, which, you know, looking back, maybe weren't so coincidental along with all these other coincidences that happened throughout life. Right. Like, how do you look at that?
It's definitely it's definitely not a coincidence. When I was looking at them as coincidence at the time, before even booking the role in The Chosen, I had a talk with God and I said, you know, you probably don't even exist. Imagine talking to somebody and then telling them they don't exist. And so all of these were him guiding me, but it was kind of like, in hindsight, I probably was a very stubborn child of his, fighting all of these paths that he's trying to put me on, where he's like, just stay still for a second, man, like, so I can make this easier for you. And I'm just fighting everything along the way. Everything. I mean, one crazy thing that happened while we were shooting season one, I arrive and we're shooting for 4 days. I get a call from my brother-in-law the night before we were going to shoot the scene where Zebedee sends James and John off to follow Jesus. My brother-in-law says, your dad's had a heart attack. We're in the hospital right now. And my whole world was just thrown off. And I said, what? He said, yeah. And I said, well, wait a second. There were never signs of what? So I was looking up red eye flights. This is at 11 PM. I get to my hotel room. My mom's telling me, stay, don't ruin your career. I'm like, Mom, forget my career. What is going on? He's going to be in surgery tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. By the time you get here, he's already going to be in surgery. What are you going to do if you show up? I'm like, no, Mom, I got to hang up. I got to look for flights. So I'm looking for flights. And those voices that came back that were telling me not to do The Chosen when I first booked the role, they came back like, I don't know how many it was, like, yeah, you're such a terrible son if you don't leave. See what happened? You came here, you should have turned it down and been firm about that. Blah, 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 blah. And the voices got so intense that I just had to stop for a second, put down my phone, and just have a one-on-one with God. And I said, God, and I felt, I know we weren't on the best of terms, or I wasn't on the best of terms with you. And I've been here for 4 days, and this actually, being on the set and feeling this good feeling that I called at the time, something feels right here, and I want you to tell me, what do you want me to do? Should I stay or should I go? And then a deep voice came, like it was coming from the bottom of this well. And I just heard, stay. I said, what? Stay? It's like, stay. Are you sure? And then I hear, if you leave, you're going to ruin everything. You're going to ruin the shoot, and you're going to ruin your dad's chances of surviving. And then, and that was, yeah, that was the first moment that I realized, you know what? I'm going to give dad to my, I'm going to give my dad to God. And I said, okay, God, if you want to take him tonight and you've meant to bring me here, then I guess I'm going to have to be okay with that. And I've never had that attitude. And I just burst out screaming and crying, called my mom and said, I'm not coming. I'm going to stay to shoot. She said, everything will be fine. Just stay.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Hang up the phone.
Wow. That story is so powerful. I mean, that's a powerful story you share. And it's like, we don't understand what happens in life when we hit rock bottom, how we reinvent ourselves, and we do it over and over again so many times in our lives, Nick. Now, playing this role compared to voiceover, what's the difference? I mean, it's got to be a big difference. You're on camera now versus behind the scenes doing it. I don't know how many acting experiences you had more than the other, but this is really changed you because you've done so many seasons now as an acting role on camera. What's the difference?
Yeah, so whether it's The Chosen or any other on-camera project, I've always brought this innate thing that God has given me, which is the core of the character comes to me in the form of his or its voice, if it's like a creature or a monster. Whatever. So I just use what I've always used for voiceover, which is, well, the root of the character is rooted in their voice, in their being. So once I figure that out and it's given to me as a download, I can then perform it, whether it's a voiceover or whether it's Zebedee for The Chosen. Because obviously Zebedee is not my natural voice vocal range. He's not, I don't go around, you know, I don't go around talking like that. So once he was downloaded to me, his image and his voice, it was like, well, I'm just going to do the lines in his voice. And eventually my whole psychology gets flooded with who he is and his motivations and his love and his dislikes, and everything just comes to me without really doing any script analysis, because for me, it's not a mental exercise. It's not something that, like if it was, I wouldn't be doing acting. I'd be doing something else that's more consistent if I've got to use my mind that much.
Totally.
But it's a dance. Acting is a dance that I do with God. It's a collaboration with him. It's not something I just do. And the biggest difference is, and I've always said this in voiceover too, that's where I've gotten my start, and I've done way more voiceover than on camera projects, is that, and I've said this to this day, I come from voiceover, and to me, voiceover is the purest form of acting, in my opinion. Because when you're doing a voiceover, you cannot hide behind good lighting. You cannot hide behind a take.
Right.
You cannot hide behind music.
Right. You're
the
just
performance.
Excited.
Yeah. Yeah. People totally are good. Hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
They're hearing the character. So if the character is not there, he's not there. And it falls flat.
I just bring that
mindset to.
Absolutely.
I bring that to on camera. I bring that same
thing. That's fantastic. Nick, best place people can check you out, in The Chosen, where people can check it out right now for the new season coming up.
Yeah. If you download The Chosen app, You can watch the episodes for free. You can pay it forward if you choose to. You can watch it on Netflix, on Hulu, Amazon Prime. And pretty soon, the CW is going to be airing previous seasons of The Chosen. So you can check it out there, too.
So, Nick, I know that we are so short on time, but I'm sure people are dying to know what happened with your dad. How is your dad?
So as I'm doing the sending James and John off to follow Jesus during that scene, I was completely out of my mind that whole day. And the surgery that they did on him when I went back, the doctor told me his first heart attack should have killed him. And he said the surgery was a success. And he said, in all my 40 years, your dad was the first time we did not have to use a fibrillator, because the minute we put his heart back into his body,
wow,
all of his vitals just kicked in by themselves. And then the doctor pointed at my dad and he said, I can't describe this, but you know, this is a miracle, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
What a tremendous miracle you are, Nick. Thank you again. We appreciate it. People definitely check out The Chosen in so many different places and check out Nick. Thanks again, Nick.
You got Thanks, it. Nick. Take care, guys.
All right. That was a special Soundcast, Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.